And we are here for the next hour, and it is the what did we say beforehand? Dave special and Keith. Well, of course, up in the top left hand corner, as usual, joining me on a Monday night, of course, he's Mr. McMahon, fresh from his trip to Portugal. And
I wish it was Portugal, it was Spain, Dave. Spain. Next door, I've not been Portugal this year, and I think my missus would be going mad if she just heard that.
Yeah. And then of course down in the bottom left hand corner, I had the privilege of actually getting to have a chat with him face to face in the beginning of June, and of course it's the chairman and CEO of Redditch United, David Faulkner. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you. Hello.
And the man that retires more times than Watford have managers, and he's back again, and there he is, Mr. Dave Anderson. And great to have you on, mate.
Yeah, nice to be here. It's sort of getting embarrassing. I don't know what to say about it, Dave.
We were saying, Dave, while we was in Spain, do you know the fellas that come along with a box and try and sell you stuff? You must have so many watches that you could do that.
I couldn't do all the Christmas get-togethers. I know that much. It would take a while. But yeah, listen, these things happen if we're lucky, you know, and I'm a lucky guy, you know.
We all think you came back because they took the bars off you. Somebody else won it, you had to come back and thought you said, well, I'm going to go for the trophy this time.
No, I've actually banned the Wembley or anything to do with it from the dressing room. It's a fiver in the players' pool if you mention anything to do with it. I think we all need to move on. You know, I can live out on it forever, but I think when you're in the game, Keith will tell you, and Dave will tell you, you really don't want to be bringing that stuff up, you know. did you know what I used to do? You know that one.
Listen, one of the things that, before we go into your prospective clubs, one of the things I'd like to have a chat with you about is something that happened over the weekend, and I saw it firsthand over the weekend, and it was something that it'd be interesting to get from a manager's point of view, from a chairman's point of view as well. I was at a trophy game at the weekend, and it went as badly wrong as it probably could, in all fairness, and in a really bad defeat. And you know, it was one of those games where the manager sort of kept the players in the dressing room for a long period of time after the game, and then came out and faced me and answered questions to me. And sometimes you'll get a manager that will come out and answer questions, and it'll all be sort of you know, look like you see on the Premier League and, you know, on the TV, and, you know, this, back the players, back this, back that, and not really answer a question. The manager in question actually came out on Saturday and was so forthright in chatting to me, explaining the situation, apologetic, and it was a fantastic interview. And Dave, I've got it, I'm ready to, and I will send it to you. But it's how as a manager and as a chairman, when you get a defeat like that in an FA Cup, trophy or FA Cup game or FA Vars game, and you get turned over quite badly and the team plays quite badly, how tough is that from a manager's point of view to then come out and face an interview? And secondly, from a chairman or CEO's point of view, when maybe the crowd are getting a little bit restless and all the rest of it, you know, what is the sort of chairman's or CEO's view on that as well? Dave, should we start with the chairman first?
We'll go with young Dave, shall we?
Yeah, young Dave. Yeah, go on, Dave.
I suppose very difficult. I mean, it's bizarre, especially in my role. Often people think you're in so much of a power position, but obviously, you know, 3 o'clock on a Saturday, whatever it might be, you suddenly realise that you've got maybe a lot of responsibility and stuff, but not so much power. So, I mean, any sort of bad result, people look at you and you're like, well, I'm feeling the same emotions as everybody else around. So, it's quite bizarre. I often sort of challenge that because people ask questions about the team, and my general rule is that after the game, I don't really speak about the football. Me and our manager, Matt Clark, you know, people have asked me before, like, have you two fell out? Because we generally don't talk about the football after the game. It's just the wrong time. We'll always, you know, often give out each of a Sunday as our family day, and then we'll catch one on Monday. So win, lose or draw, we very, very rarely speak about the game after. And yeah, it's football. No one wants to see it, but it does happen from time to time. Not so much for us at the moment. We're actually doing quite well. But you know, when the bad results come, the old adage, take it on the chin and look for the next one. It's about all we can do in my role. The manager's probably got a bit more to think about. But I did watch the interview that you mentioned in question, and I mean, a lot of it's just about taking responsibility. Even in my role, I mean, we had a difficult start to last season, and around Christmas, myself and other directors, you know, we sat down and wrote, and it's more about, well, what can we do to help? You know, it's not so much the blame call, Joe. How can we formulate, you know, what went wrong, and how can we try and improve the next performance? Mm.
Mr. Anderson?
I'd much rather speak to you after than speak to the chairman. I know that for a start. you know, it's I'm to be fair, it's wise words from Dave, because it's something that I've did at I wouldn't say all my clubs, but certainly most of the clubs. And it started a long time ago with Peter Rogers back Horrorborough, like in the first time I was there, which is a long time ago. And we agreed not to speak on Saturdays after the game for the exact reasons that, you know, you can be too high, too low, too angry, too sad, too anything. So I would very rarely see him off the game, and I've took that with me to other clubs, and I've found it works well. And I know that other chairmen that I took it to still do it, so it would tell me that it's a reasonable thing to do. I think you're talking about Andy Lees, aren't you? I didn't watch the interview, Dave, to be honest, but I've seen it advertised, and I would think, you know, and I don't know what Andy said, but he's an experienced manager. He'll understand he has to come and face some music. It won't be the first time he's faced the music, because we're all in that situation when you've been around as long as he has, that there is bad days and you have to go in front of it. You know, it's your job. It's not the nicest job in the world. I think the only thing that's changed over the years is it's become such a sort of microwave oven decision-making time. You have three bad games and you're out, and three good wins and you get a new contract. And I always felt that a few years ago, there was more of an even keel on bad results and bad runs. But you can dress it up whatever way you want. I think you need to be as honest as you can be, and I know Andy is that. And through the years, I've learned how to be a reasonably good actor as well at times to disguise it and being honest and move on. You, it's part of the game. It's just part of the job that you do.
And it was interesting to see some of the, you know, feedback as well. I mean, someone's put on here an honest interview, clearly disgusted with his and the team's performance, needed an immediate reaction on Tuesday. You know, a couple of others have put on here. And he's a genuine man, as any board member or player would testify. And he's exactly that. And, you know, the actual interview was really heartfelt. It was really sort of there. And it was one of those ones where, when I was asking him a question, I was sitting there quiet, thinking, this is, you know, a really great interview and a really great touch when you're talking to him, because he was very much like, you know, I'm not going to defend the players, as he says in the interview, and he told them that, and et cetera, et cetera. And it just seemed to be a really great interview, you know, and didn't actually sort of, like, how can we say, polish over anything that had physically happened on, you know, on that day. And it was, you know, he knows it was a bad performance, but he's such a great manager. You could see turn around on Tuesday night or tomorrow night now against Bognor, and he's got two big games coming up, Bognor at home and then Lewis at home in the next two games. You wouldn't surprise me to see, we're sitting there next week, we're talking about 6 points and he's got an extra 6 points in the bag for this coming week.
That, Dave, it's difficult, because sometimes, as Dave just said there, when you do an interview straight after the game, it one depends on, you know, how you've lost, if it's been heavy, if the players have, you know, could you say something that might deflate the team, or players might then go the other way, or do you want to say something that may want to do that? You might just throw something in to try and get a response. So I think it depends on one, how you're feeling as a manager. Like I said, if you've just been done absolute smash and the players ain't sort of listened to you, you might want to just send a message out there as well. If you're just honest and upfront, because, you know, the fans, you know, Enfield have got a good following. Their fans aren't silly. They know, they want to listen to the manager. But yeah, it's sometimes you are going to be caught in two camps, whereas you want to be honest with the supporters, but you don't want to demoralise your side either if things are going well. Is it a one-off blip? You know, it could mean that, or you could be having a bad day yourself. And I know I've come out after an interview and been really honest and up front, and some of the supporters gone, wow, that's passionate. And then I've had a player go to me, well, was you having a go at me then? And he took it that way. And I will say that my relationship with that player after that changed the club I had, because he couldn't take criticism. And I didn't name, you know, and it didn't come meant to come across that way. So it's difficult sometimes.
Yeah, I would say as well that I don't think Andy will have said anything he doesn't want to say. I'd be surprised. And, you know, we all do it different. And the one thing we don't get is we don't get into each other's dressing rooms. So I know if I'm going to speak to the press and hammer my team, I will have absolutely hammered them in the dressing room before it came out. And in a long, long time in the game, I ain't done that more than 10 times probably in 30 odd years, because Keith's right, it can catch you up. But Andy will know that. You know, Andy, as I say, it will be passionate. He's an honest guy, but he's also a very experienced guy. So he'll be very aware of what he said, and that he'll be might even be managing his players through the interview with you, Dave, you know.
No, absolutely. So I was just curious to see what your point of view was, because it was something that came up, and I thought, well, it's probably, you know, quite a nice, interesting thing. And we'll go more into this next question, I suppose, next week. But another really disappointing week, seeing, I think just after the show, I think we last week with the referee getting beaten up again, you know, in there, and, you know, in a game as well. So, you know, that's a bit of a shocker as well. And seeing, I think, one of the leagues that it happened in, maybe even going on strike with the referees as well. I mean, Keith, would you? I mean,
we spoke about it. It's ridiculous. Look, we've, you know, I've had a moan at referees as much as Dave, you know, as over the top. But physical violence don't come into it. It's ridiculous. And all you're doing is just trying to push people out of the game. And you know, you're seeing a few young lads trying to be a ref. I was at my boy's game 2 weeks ago, and we had a young kid. He was 17 that refereed it, and under 15. And I said, "Oh, do you not play football?" And he went, "No, I do. I just want to, you know, I enjoy reffing." If you get things like this, that you're not going to get the new blood come through. It's ridiculous. And I said to you before, you know, I was at a game a few weeks ago where the committee had to walk the referee out to his car in the car park because the opposing team wanted to kill him. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
That's just unbelievable. But let's jump on to some good things, I suppose. Let's jump on to Redditch, young Dave, as you now know.
And, I like this.
And I mean, you got you know, the club going, you know, great guns as well this season as well. And then, you know, even tomorrow night, got a great great game tomorrow night against Colville Town. Of course, one place above you, and. You know, you must be thinking everything's nice and rosy in the garden at the minute.
Yeah, it certainly seems so. I mean, I'm sure I'll upset our manager when I say this now, but it just seems like with the squad, you know, and a few things that have gone on through the summer, a lot of panics have aligned to sort of get the group that we've got together. I think every year you'll say we've got a good group, you know, and last year, you know, we had a really, really nice group of lads. You know, and this year, you know, the same. We've got a few experienced heads, and you know, all the sort of the thing I like to see on a Saturday now, we seem a bit more chirpy. Is the only way I describe it. We're a bit more confident. You know, we're going into games thinking that we're doing well, and we've managed to secure, you know, a good chunk of the squad on contract. So I think when I first came into the club, one of the sort of bits of feedback, we didn't have a huge amount of continuity. And that's not within the squad, you know, over a season. That was pretty much week by week. I mean, last year we used quite a lot of players, but we didn't do as well. So what you do, I suppose you're going to change things around. And at the moment, we've got a very stable squad, which is great. And I think supporters relate to that really well. So the results so far have been fantastic. You know, devastated to go out the FA Cup, as you would be, with a manager, chairman or player. But we gave a good account as ourselves against a team we got promoted out of our division last year. But at the moment, I mean, we've got a number of players that come out of the Football League. We've got a Ukrainian refugee. So that's where I think these must have it from, stars align. Like, where does that person come from? And it just happened to be there. We've got them in. And then last week, we've managed to find a starlet in a young man called Max Sheaf, who has been at the club. He's really enjoyed his time. I think when he signed the paperwork, even I said, what on earth are you doing? You know, he's a very, very, very good talent. And, we've managed to secure him now for the season. So we've got the stability. And I think that's what any team will need to try and progress. So fingers crossed what the rest of the season brings.
And a good win in the trophy as well at the weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think for me, a cup run's really important. And people, when we talk about the FA Cup, the FA trophies and whatever, they talk about prize money. I mean, the prize money is not as important as we're trying to engage a town, a local community. The thing I've noticed very quickly is people love a cup game. They love the drama. So we've now just got AFC Tottenham in the next round of the trophy. So because you've gone for on Saturday, you've got the drama of, well, who are we going to draw? Are we going home? Are we away? You know, I mean, Tottenham's a ground I've never been to. I mean, they are coming off to us, admittedly. But, you know, you've got that drama. People can sort of relate to that. The league campaign, I would say it's never boring, but, you know, the drama of the cup, you know, whether it be a county cup, if you get to a semi-final of that. I mean, we had a very good crowd for our county crowds last season. So I think it just brings that a little bit extra. And, you know, if we can develop that drama through the season, you know, the longer you stay in the cup, I think it really helps.
I mean, with the cup games though, and so this is across the board to everybody, I suppose, when you go into those sort of cup competitions, especially the trophy, I suppose, is it a bit of an annoyance when you actually pull somebody from maybe your own leagues or your own league? You'd rather play somebody maybe from, you know, from somewhere else, a different opponent. I mean, I know one of the top results of the weekend was Harlow taking out Fulchurch on penalties, and then they get drawn at home to Bishop Stortford today. So it's like, it's one of those ones where you look at the draws and you'd love to be playing somebody different rather than the same old teams all the time.
Yeah, I think my reaction was always give me somebody at home, you know, give me somebody at home where we've a chance. Or give me somebody at home that's a couple of divisions above and brings lots of people with them. And try not to give me something that I definitely should win. Because they're the ones that give you the grey hairs.
She's on men.
I think, like we said last week, Dave, if you're a step four club, you're the lowest ranked side in it. So if you want to go far in it, you're going to get people. You want teams in your maybe around that you know that you can, you know the homework on and things like that. If you just want a day out, then you want the highest ranked club you can get. But I think the trophy, as Avely has shown and Hornchurch showed, you know, at a step four, you can do well. So I think you just want to try and progress as far and as Dave said, you know, about his club, it has brought them together. And Dave Anderson will tell you, I know you don't want to go on about it, but the runs he's had in his cups, it does bring towns together. When you've got a good fan base, they love it. It gives them something to talk about.
One thing when you talk about the draw, you talk about different steps. I've certainly noticed on this one. You say about a team, I mean, we're step three. I'd much, much, much rather have a team from step two that are maybe not doing so well in their league than a team flying at step four. You know, the people instantly look at with Tottenham, what league they in, where are they in the league? You know, I'd much rather have played a team struggling in the division above us and one doing well in the division below.
Yeah. With your games though, Dave. I mean, you've got, as you said, you've got Colville tomorrow night. Then, a Rushden and Diamond side that are struggling, but might have a new manager bounce there, and then you've also got.
Yeah.
Barwell was, just after that. So, I mean, you've got a couple of, especially sort of like the Rushden Diamonds Barwell game, and maybe even the Bashford game that could set you up quite nicely for that Tottenham game, the weekend after that.
Yeah, but I think the good thing about our group at the moment is one of those games we're actually looking forward to is tomorrow's game against Colville. They want that challenge. You know, we've never been in this sort of position. You know, you've got a team that have consistently been at the top of this division, even through the COVID seasons and whatnot. They've consistently been at the top. The players are buzzing for the challenge of going there tomorrow night. So, you know, win there and see what the next few games bring. You know, not a problem, but we were actually counting down the days we brushed them. We were hoping that they hadn't appointed a new manager, because if they've got a new manager in last week, then 7 days go in and then you go and play them and they're a totally different team. To my knowledge, I may be wrong, but I don't have appointed anybody yet. So you'd like to think they're probably going to have a relatively similar squad. So we were quite happy that they hadn't appointed someone sort of last week, because that would have been a totally different team since you would have played against.
Dave, just you were saying that, you know, you've got a bit of continuity with players, etc. How long have you had your current manager there, and is it something that you've gave him time? Because as Dave Anderson said a little while ago, you know, it's getting more and more cutthroat, I think, every year, that if you lose 3 or 4 games on the beat, you know, you're out. Did you set up a plan when you sort of employed him, that this is what you want, I want a path, or did you want instant success? You know, there are some chairmen out there, and it was quite refreshing also to hear what you said, that you don't speak to your manager much on a Saturday, because some of the, you know, I've had chairmen that that's all they want to do on a Saturday afternoon and after the game is talk to you, and and sometimes you don't want to say, you're on about doing an interview. That's the hardest one, Dave, to come and speak to your chairman if he wants to speak to you. But, you know, was it a part, a sort of plan you had over a few years, or has this success just been built over the last couple of years?
I mean, I took the club on during COVID. So at the time, you know, the season before, we were rock bottom of step three. I think we'd lost something like 20 plus games in a row in the league. You know, it wasn't in a great place. And when we brought Matt in, it was in that season where we had just the 8 games, you know, and it all got shut down again. And to be fair, we had an unbelievable start that season. Like, I think everyone just thought we were dead and buried. So that sort of set us up the season after. And actually during that time, not because of results necessarily, it was only over 8 games, but we'd put Matt on a contract for a couple of years. And 100%, the continuity thing is really important to me. You know, and it starts with the manager. You know, I've said, you know, it seems like planets have aligned with our squad, but, you know, in fairness, I mean, Danny King, we signed last week. Matt's been chasing him for over a year now. You know, Max Sheed's been on the radar for a long time. You know, he mentions all these people. So I think he had a good idea of where, you know, he wanted to go. Last season wasn't great. I think we lost 4-0 away to Stourbridge on New Year's Day, or it might be the second, I can't remember. You know, and that was, I believe, second for a bottom. You know, things didn't look great. And again, you talk about after a game, you know, I want to, how can we help? That was the thing. And we had to, as a board, we sat down and said, right, where can we help? Can we try and, you know, help us? And inevitably, it often means spending a few more quid. You know, but we put ourselves in a position where we thought it was worthwhile doing that. And, you know, we had a fantastic run, you know, after that point, and we've moved on into this season. So it's certainly been a longer sort of progression than, you know, just this season. This has been a steady building ship for us.
And you've sort of, you know, you said you took over in COVID. This, me and Dave are nutty managers, but why do you want to take over a football club?
Yeah, it does seem a bit bizarre. At the time, COVID gave us actually a massive opportunity. And to be fair, now we've gone through it. At the time, yeah, probably a bit of madness. But now you've gone through it, quite a lot of businesses have actually used that as an opportunity. I think one of the differences for our club is, you know, we and me, I couldn't have sat at home through COVID. So I was often down the club painting walls and other stuff. And in that time, I really managed to break down the business of, you know, what we do. So that was a big opportunity. A few funding parts became available. You know, the time to, we did quite a few different building projects that were sort of planned. I mean, one of them, we ripped apart the ceiling in the main function room. Decorated the whole thing, new lights everywhere, new LED lights and stuff. You couldn't have done that during normal operating procedures, because you would have lost the bar for probably 4 or 6 weeks. You know, the business couldn't have sustained that, but through lockdown it could. So it just gave us opportunity. So that was the bit where actually it became quite feasible for me, to maybe take it on. But yeah, at the time, it probably seemed like a bizarre thing to do. But in hindsight, like a lot of businesses, they've managed to reshape themselves and come back, for a lot of businesses, stronger. I know it's suffered for some, but I'd say more than half of the businesses that we deal with, commercially, COVID's been good for them, and sounds daft, but that's just the way it's been.
Just looking at your results as well, do you set up differently away from home than you do at home? Because you haven't lost an away game, and you've only won one at home. Yeah, the team does well.
Dave, before you answer that, be careful because your manager will be on the phone to you ripping you to pieces for giving away how your team play. So be very careful what you say to Keith. He's no mug.
I don't worry for Matt, because we've even said, we've joked about it. We're going to, next home game, get the coach. We're going to load everybody on it. We're going to go around the block. We're going to get the coach to park outside. We're going to get out in our lovely, with our beautiful, beautiful sky blue away kit this year. I say that aside from Peterborough Sports, where we were on top of it for the whole game and we just couldn't get the ball in the back of the net. We scored in every game this year, and that's the one we didn't manage to. And it knocks out the FA Cup. Apart from that, the away form is just ridiculous. I think it was Royston game, I think it was the home game last weekend, and that was our first league home win. And if you look at the football web pages, the little app, our home record, we were bottom of the table in our league, just the away, just the home games. And the away table, we were top of the league by about 5 points. There's definitely, I don't know. We've got an artificial pitch, so we thought, is that the reason? But we've won away on artificial pitches. It's just been bizarre, but it's made the coach trips even more enjoyable.
Does that mean you're going to dig it up and put grass down then?
No, even the away. I mean, we beat Rush all away in the FA Cup, and that was an artificial pitch. It's Ilkeston. We did really well there. An artificial pitch. I don't know what it was, but it's definitely took us in good stead and it's helped league position at the moment. And we picked our first win last Saturday at home. And hopefully we can carry on building on that home form, because we all know winning at home is more important, especially than supporters come and watch. But we'll pick up the points wherever they can be, and hopefully another 3 points tomorrow night at Colm will be fantastic.
Tell us a little bit though, about the club itself.
I think the way I probably describe our club is we're more than just a football club. A lot of football clubs, and believe me, there's pros and cons, they'll often have a grass pitch open up on a Saturday afternoon if it doesn't rain, and they might have a game in the week, and that's a big facility to sort of manage. We had an artificial pitch laid in 2016, which gave us an opportunity to deliver a lot more. As a club, that pitch hosts football for over 1,000 people a week at the moment. We reckon our stadium footfall, which we're actually having counted in the next few months, we've just worked with the company. We reckon we probably average about 5,000 people a week come to our stadium. So we've got a big function room. We invested significantly in a new classroom facility last summer. So at the moment, we're educating close to 80 people a year full time on site. We've got what we believe is probably the country's only disability sport program based on a sports club like ours, where they're delivering, employability alongside their sports courses. And my background's education, and my passion's always been through the employability bit. And to think, when I did a sports course myself when I was at college, and we went in the sports hall once a week if there wasn't an exam. Whereas delivering sport within a working environment, that's where people are in. That's where they want to go and work. So why not study in that environment? And so we're open every morning from 8 o'clock, and we'll close tonight at probably 10:30 after I think the reserve team are training tonight, later on. That's us pretty much 7 days a week. Function Friday, function Saturday. So we're far more than just the football. And I suppose I was going to describe our club. That's what we are. We're quite a machine, really. And so the bit I love, and the bit that is my challenge, is that enigma of getting all those cogs worrying together, because they really do impact on each other quite significantly.
I mean, as a chairman, though, and you know, I mean, if this success carries on and carries on and carries on, and we're getting into sort of like March, you know, early April, I mean, how nervous do you get then about maybe moving up into step two?
I've never, whether it's my negative, my wife will call it negative, I'm sure, but worrying about things that happen well in a football club, I don't worry about that. Everyone else can ponder about when things go well. That's easy. That you can deal with that so easily. It's when things don't go well, then that's when you've got to manage situations. And I'm relaxed about being at the top end of the table. It's being the bottom end that, you know, that worries me.
I mean, one of the things that we've said on this show as well about clubs with 3G, 4G services, I mean, has the club, you know, it's been down, what, 6 years now, you know, has the club got sort of like some kind of a wire to actually replace the pitch when it's needed to be replaced?
Yeah, we've got a sinking fund. It's all ready to go. Our pitch went down in 2016, so... The warranty, you know, is 8 years. That'll last somewhere between 8 and 10 years. So we're ready to go on that. So we're stable. You know, there's no risk. I think with the 3G, often think, you know, people think, oh well, that one down the road, it's £40 an hour for a quarter, and they add up all that money, and you know, they think that's your biggest earner. And yes, it allows us to generate the footfall that we've got. Now, that's a grass pitch, impossible. People don't realise it's also your biggest, you know, your biggest risk. It's your biggest asset, but it's by far your biggest risk. You know, the pitch fails, you've suddenly got, I mean, I asked for a quote not long ago, and you're looking at over £200,000 to replace the carpet. You know, and people don't realise the electricity bill. They don't realise that, you know, the rubber crumb that you've got to keep topping up, the cleaning, the pitch tests. You know, they're not money-making machines. If they were, why is not every council building them everywhere? You know, they're not the money machine I've got, but with one, you do have then the opportunity to, you know, deliver bigger projects, you know, like we do. I mean, over the summer, we've done 3 weeks of funding programs for local school kids that have come to us and done a morning's activity, had a hot meal and gone home. You couldn't do that on a grass pitch. You know, so we've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of places that we've managed to deliver. So you've just got to then take that opportunity, you know, to keep the place busy.
That's a good thing you just put up there, though, and it'd be interesting to see what the other guys think as well. You know, there's a lot of clubs I keep seeing on, or fans, not necessarily a club, talking about, oh, look, we need to move our fixtures forward on a Saturday because of the electricity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But then we can't do that.
But then with the club, with the clubs with, you know, the 3G, 4G circuit, surely your electric bills have got to be a lot higher than the teams with grass, because if you're going to be using them to, you know, almost 24/7 as such, there's an issue there, I suppose, as well, isn't there? A payment out rather than the payment in that you're getting for people using the pitch.
Yeah, the bills generally have gone up, and people talk about electricity at the moment, but everything that, you know, you're getting in is gone up, and that's, you know, that's not me whinging, as you know, from a footballer's point of view. I think we're all whinging about that from personal points of view as well. You know, the world has suddenly become a lot more expensive, and you know, when whatever we're buying in at the moment, it is more. You know, that's the way it is, and I think it's going to be a very tough time for clubs over the next few years. I think we've gone through, you know, through COVID, and I think, me being brutally honest, I think the funding and things that became available through the FA and other things, you know, was very generous. And now we're going to have to really batten down on that one, because I think we are going to go for a tough time. I mean, I've looked at our league, you know, only one team in our league's attendances have gone up this season. Everybody else's have gone down, some, you know, 25-30%. That's a big hit, you know, on gates and beers and burgers. So it's going to be an interesting next couple of years, I think.
It's funny, Dave, when you speak about this, sorry, you know, we spoke about the attendances the other week, and I think COVID did obviously put that up because of the Premiership games you couldn't do, etc. And now, you know, I think they've more stabilised. It's funny, with the kickoff times, I know that obviously they've offered, I think, the Eastern Ave and Phoenix, if you want to kick off like local at 2 o'clock, and they've done that on Saturday for the first time. They played at 2 o'clock, and the club went, well, one, we're going to save some money on the obviously the electric, but secondly, you know, it keeps the supporters in the bar an extra hour. And that's a major impact for them. The bar, you know, they said they won the game. So instead of them coming in at 5-6, it's now 4-5. And they generated the money there for you know, in an hour for 100 or 200 people having a drink for an extra hour. Yeah. It's helped them.
It was one of it was one of the first questions I got asked by Mark Turner when I took the job. He says, "How do you feel about 2 o'clock kickoffs?" Because obviously, because of that reason, it saves money. And I said, in all honesty, I thought it doesn't bother me at all. You know, we're talking about 1 hour. I think if it saves you late, it's fine. And then he also said about playing one of our games on a Friday night. Again, I was fine, and he was against it because electricity and less people in the bar. So, so I think we're going to try and do Saturdays at 2 o'clock. But I think a lot. The one thing I did want to go way back to just quickly, Dave, was you mentioned about the referees thing a while ago, and I never got to speak about it. And I've given referees verbal abuse, not abuse, but my verbal opinion for many years from a touchline. But, you know, I really think that there isn't a line in the sand here with how hard you deal with people. I think people caught doing it should be banned for life. I think clubs who are harbouring people who are doing it should be thrown out of the league. I think, you know, I think there should be no line in the sand as how hard these people are hit. To be fair, my first game with a sort of handbag situation, as you would call it in the old days, that wasn't pretty at Marlow, and it was a young referee, and he dealt with it really well in a situation that wasn't particularly nice for 5 or 6 minutes. He wasn't threatened, you know, but I was knocked over for a start, but it's a long story. But I just feel that we moan because it's in our DNA, and the part of the time it's our own fault we haven't got our team set up right. But I do think that there should be, what is it, killing a fly with a hammer, you know, you overreact. I think in this situation with referees, the Football Association should overreact. It should absolutely hammer people with it. I just wanted to go back and say that. You know, I don't want to go back to the whole subject, but I didn't get to speak on it, you know.
I mean, the actual thing then with the leagues, I mean, I know what you just said there as well, Keith. You talked about the Eastman League saying they can do the early kickoffs. Of course, Summer League is exactly the same because it's in the rules that you can do that if you want to. But, you know, as I think as Anthony said the other week there, I think some of the journeys are horrendous. Do you know what I mean? You're just not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, they are. But again, Dave, that's what we said about the money saving thing before, and Dave just said it there. You know, teams will say, yeah, we need to save the money, but then they'll arrange a Friday night game, or they'll have a friendly if they're knocked out a cup. So some of it doesn't make sense with that as well. The travelling is an issue for some fans, especially, you know.
Sorry, Keith, do you think so? Because I think you're talking about 1 hour. So effectively, yeah. what's the earliest you would leave to a game at our level? You know, I understand the conferences. I worked in National for a couple of years, and it's different because obviously BT are involved and it's a different level. So I get that they can't really do a lot. But I think below that, what's the, you know, you leave at 8 o'clock in the morning instead of 9 o'clock. We're talking about 1 hour here, but effectively could save the club's money.
No, I do agree with it. I'm not an anti of it, but when you talk to other clubs, that's what they're saying. Well, I found my or I might have someone that's got to work, and it's just like an excuse. But then, like I said, they put a friendly on or they do something different, so it just doesn't make sense.
The thing that surprised me with the floodlight bit was, I love a spreadsheet and working these equations. I haven't actually done it yet, but I don't know, when we have an FA Cup game, is it floodlights, is it like £75 as an expense? I mean, I don't know what the floodlights would actually, you know, cost for that extra little bit. And the grand scheme of things, I didn't imagine it as being a huge saving. You've got the lights on in the bar, you've got the heating on, you've got whatever else it is. The floodlights didn't, to me, I haven't looked into it, I didn't really think it'd be a huge saving. We couldn't with an artificial pitch. You've got all the kids' games on in the morning. I think we hosted 21 different games last week as a club. You know, we it'd be impossible for us to do it. Maybe we could do it on New Year's Day because there'd be nothing else on. But I didn't really. Me personally, it's a benefit. I'm guessing someone's done the maths, but.
The LED bulbs now and the new floodlights have sort of changed that anyway, haven't they? But yeah, when you look at the club itself, it doesn't matter if you open at 10 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning for a kickoff, you've got to still turn the lights on and eat it, I suppose.
Yeah, I saw someone do the maths on it, but I didn't personally see it as a massive significant saving. I'm sure other clubs took a different stance. We've had a couple of teams in our league that have asked to move it forward. You know, we've got no problem because, like you said, you're probably looking at an hour. It's not really going to change anyone Saturday afternoon. If anything, the players might, staff, whoever, might like getting home a little bit earlier, but it didn't really make a big difference to us.
I mean, don't move on to Chertsey, Dave. And I mean, I suppose one of the questions that for me was did you ever look at the fixture list and realise there was a trip to Guernsey? And you thought, well, I'll take it. in all fairness, mate, I mean, looking at your next game, I mean, you said you had your first game at the weekend, and then just a game against Felixstowe Walton tomorrow night help you in a way because you can get to have a look at the rest of the squad as such, or are you a man that wants to go out there and play out there and play your strongest team and go out there to win it?
Well, I think I got to see them Saturday. Obviously, I'd done a bit of homework on. I knew some of the group from the last time, to be honest. There's still sort of five or six of the lads there from the last time. I spoke to lots of people around it to find out what the rest of the guys were like. Seen them Saturday. The group seems fine. Tomorrow night, to be fair to Philly, they're top of their division. So I'm glad there isn't a replay if it's drawn, let me tell you, because it's not around the corner. I'll make a couple of changes tomorrow night because of that. Saturday was a real test against a team who are third, and then we go into next Saturday against Walton and Ursham on a 4G who are up and around it as well. So I sort of said to the chairman, when he told me the first two fixtures, I said, well, who's after that? Man United and Liverpool? You know, it's sort of like a real baptism of fire. But, you know, I think as a new manager, I'd rather have them games because you find out more about your team in them games. You find out, you see, you know, if there's any cracks in the paper, you just get to see them. So I'm looking for, and I will, you know, I'll give you that. I'll probably make a couple of changes tomorrow night, Dave. Yeah.
I know we joked with you, Dave, about sort of retiring, etc. What did make you get back into it? Was you missing it? I know obviously you've been at Barnet, etc. Or was it because, you know, the chairman, they're looking for a manager? You know, what did make you again say, right, go on, I'll be nuts again and put my boots back on?
I'd love to give you a real deep answer, but I promise you, Mark Turner, Barnet as we know him, and you know me, I've known him a long time. He was my reserve team manager at Hendon 100 years ago. I think he played a few games for me as well. So we have known each other all the time. And he was a big part of me going there the first time. Every decision he's made since I've left, he spoke to me about. He's never taken me advice, but he's spoken to me about it. And I include this one as well. So we'd always talk. And he just phoned me up and he'd said he wanted to make a change, and I promise you, I recommended two people to him, two managers, one in work and one out of work, who he knew both of them, and I says, look, I think you should speak to both of them, then whatever you want's up to you, and he says, look, we know who we want, and I said, who? He said, you, and off was the second word I said to him, because I just wasn't thinking about that. I wasn't thinking that way. And he just says, like, go and have a think about it, you know. And I blame my wife for this because she was away for the night. So a couple of beers after golf. I got home and a couple of glasses of red wine. And I couldn't come up with a real reason why not to do it. we did discuss, like, you know, the legacy stuff where you've, it's been so good the last time, but I'm, all that stuff's nonsense for me. It's done. It's set in history books. It'd never be changed. I could fall flat on my arse this time. I'm aware of that. You know, there is no guarantees, but the doesn't mean you shouldn't take it because you're scared about racking what happened the last time. That's all nonsense. So I then, when I couldn't come up with a reason not to, I then started to think of all the reasons I wanted to, and then it seemed like maybe it was the red wine, but it seemed like a reasonable idea. So I did it, Keith. Yeah, that's it.
Did you ring the two managers up you recommended and apologise?
I promise you, I got the best voicemail, and I've ever seen you. I'm going to keep it like you listen to it. And it's along the lines, and you'll know who it is, and it's along the lines of where he said, listen, Dave, I'm sacking you as my agent. You might be a reasonable manager, but you're a rubbish agent, you know, because, you know, and it just made me die. But that's how it was. I wasn't effectively touting myself for the job at all, you know. I'd actually spoke to Wayne when he got the job. I'd spoke to Ian Selly when he got the job. And obviously, Kevin took over from me. So I'd spoke to all the managers to say, look, you won't need me, but if you do, and I'm not on a golf course, give me a ring, you know. And so I'd no inkling about getting into it, but I haven't, it's only one game and two nights, but I haven't sort of sat down and gone, I've made a bad decision. That might change in a month's time, and it might change on their part as well. But I enjoyed the two years at Barnet because it's a great level, and I wasn't the manager. And you know yourself, Keith, that, you know, although you, the manager stands on the touchline and watches the games, and you're two steps behind him sitting down, it's 200 miles, you know, in stress, pressure, you know, people wanting a bit of you. So I really enjoyed that side of it. And I think maybe that planted the seed that that it might not be done.
And talking to your old team, they had a bit of a game at the weekend as well, didn't they? 7-5.
Yeah. Dean phoned me on the way back. I still speak to him most days. I play golf with him and John Dreyer, Tumble, who you'll remember, Keith, from back in the days when he was in Baden. Great lads. So I'd play golf with them maybe once a week, once every other week. And I said, if ever that summed up me and you, Dean, I win 1-0 away in a crap game and you get beat 7-5 against like a team that should win it at their place because his football's really entertaining. They go forward to try and beat you 10-9, whereas I'm a bit more boring than that. But I think that the level's very good. It's real. It's proper professional football, really, you know. So if you're neutral and you want to watch that level, I'd recommend you go and watch Barnet because I think they lost 5-4. They lost 5-0. They won 4-3 and they could beat 7-5 in the last four games. So that's got to be entertaining, you know. And fans say, just entertain me. Well, go and watch Barnet. They'll entertain you.
I mean, you're saying you've got, like, you know, Felix Sow, then Walton and Hersham. Then you go to Ashford Town and then another team that has brought in a new manager as well in Hayden Bird down at Leverett.
Yeah, you've looked a lot further forward than I have, Dave. I've seen Hayden's gone there during the week. Obviously, I know him from old as well, Kingston and back, where was it, Carl Short? I was going to think where he's been around a while.
Mersham,
that was it, yeah. And so that'll be good. But I think, it's only about today and it's about the next game, as the man said. I'm trying to build my knowledge of the level and the teams within it. The good thing is I do know a lot of people around it, so I can't speak to them. But it's a bit like getting into a room with the lights off at the minute. I need a few weeks to sort of get a feel of what it is. But I'm looking forward to it, and I got a really nice welcome from our fans away on Saturday. So listen, we're in the honeymoon period. Dave, give me a ring in a month.
I mean, it's not bad though. Getting a job and coming in a new job, and not very often as me and Kimmy said on numerous occasions that when you go into a new job, you're actually in the playoffs. I know it's only early, don't get me wrong, but you know, the team is doing okay anyway.
Yeah. I think they were fourth, and we won. Sorry, went third. I think effectively, if you look at the games played, we're probably more 6th to 8th. You know, I think we've played a couple more games than people, and that's the cup thing. As much as Chairman, like Dave, like cup runs, they can affect you if you're at the top end of the league. Teams like Walton have now games to catch up, and as much as you want the cup runs, they can be a pain if you end up playing sort of Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, which I did the last time I was there, because of the sort of the virus run and that. Our game's built up. But so it's nice to take over a group that's not all strange to you, who I'm guessing had wired, the lads who knew me had wired the rest of the lads off about how I am and what I'm about, because little things that I like to happen. You know, I'm one of these, when I'm in the dressing room, I like people to look at me when I'm talking to them. You know, I'm not one of these where players are looking at their boots or looking at that. Look at me, because if you come in to see me for a pay raise, you better believe I'll be looking at you, you know. So, but when I looked around the room, they're all looking at me. So they'd obviously gone, make sure you're looking at him when he's talking. So the introduction's been really nice and smooth. The team have won 2 games looking after themselves after Wayne left. So it was a very different, instead of getting in all guns blazing, I've tried to slide in and not make too much waves, if that makes sense, and just pick up the reins nice and easy, because they're a senior squad who seem to be doing okay, Dave, you know. So that's how I've sort of tried to play it.
Also, it must be nice going in where, especially when you go into a new club, that it's not new to you. So, you know, you're not walking on eggshells. You're not trying to be this and that. You know, you know how the club's run and work, so you don't have to change too much, and they know you as well. So, you know, they might obviously have to change the way they were, because since you left, because the new managers that come in obviously like things a little bit different. But, you know, they sort of do know exactly what to expect from you, and you them.
Yeah, it's... And you know me, I don't want to be arrogant about this, but it's funny. It's not often you take over a club when you walk in the bars, a mural of you. So, you know, you can live with it, do you know what I mean? But I'm only joking. So, yeah, you're right. You walk into memories in football, really, when you walk in the bar. They've had it all done out with the VAR stuff. And, you know, I've been fortunate, I've had lots of good memories, but that's right up there with anything. So, yeah, of course it is. And that's, but I think you've got to be careful of that stuff. That's why I spoke about that straight away with the guys and went, look, 500 players, pools done, it's dusted, we move on. If you want to remember, go and look at the photos on the wall when you come in this Saturday night. But effectively, let's try and do something else. But yes, it is. So, Keith, I've been there a week. I feel I've been there a month, if that sort of makes sense.
Are they going to let you sing?
Yes, Mark Turner will be on the phone telling him exactly that. No, I don't sing, but I've a little group of players, you know that. I play the penny whistle, and we have a couple of guys who do sort of Irish stuff, you know, just for a crack. We're rubbish, by the way, but after 4 or 5 pints, we're not as bad as you think.
So, I mean, with changes this week, managerial changes. I mean, we just quickly spoke about the Leatherhead one. Were you surprised at the change? And I saw some of the reaction from some of the fans of Leatherhead as well, and it was really strong.
Dave, listen, I put $2,000, right, that Aidan Bird was going to be the manager, right, and I got £1 back. So no shock on that one, to be honest. He knows the club. Listen, him and Mick are mates, so, you know, he will help them out. Luke did he was unlucky because of, obviously, he nearly saved them last year in a nearly impossible situation he took over. But they've had a lot of managers over the past, and as David know, that they're an old club. They're a club with a lot of history. Obviously, they've got a lot of issues when it rains down there. They worry themselves because it floods. So I was just looking when you're actually going there, Dave. To be honest, it could be taking weeks, which is in February. But they need stability, and they haven't had the best start. They don't want to drop down again. So was I surprised they made a change? No. It is great to see the fans make a response like that. Cause for Luke, it looks like that he has done a good job. He's wanted. You know, there's certain things that off the pitch we don't know about, as you know, the other Dave will know, being a chairman, finances, etc. You just don't know. You know, Leverhead have got a grass pitch. They haven't got all this coming in their academy. You know, you can make money from your academy if you know you've got them playing there. So I wasn't surprised with that. Then obviously you're talking about another one. Basildon changed their manager. I see that. When I looked at the league table for them, I thought, you know, they were okay. I didn't think that they'd look to change. And obviously Adam's gone in at Morden again.
Have we got to talk about his...
That's hilarious. Dave, have you seen his picture?
No.
He's holding the Morden shirt, and he looks... He's like a Tottenham fan holding an Arsenal shirt for a picture. He's like... It's not good. It's not good.
It was a good
It picture. Was funny.
We'll have to get Adam on and ask him what happened. Mm. It was funny, and Adam's a good friend of the show, but it was a really good sort of like picture when you actually get to see it. You'll have to have a look on their Twitter feed, but it's a very, very... It's a brilliant picture. It's almost as if the shirt got dropped in sight, and there was an awful smell coming from it. But it was a left.
But with that, though, it's this time of the year, obviously, you know, what we're saying about chairman, you know, they're giving managers 8-9 games, and if they're not happy, they're changing it before it's too late, maybe. I think that just times have changed now.
Yeah, I think it just seems to get earlier every year. Used to be Christmas, didn't it? Used to be turkeys and football managers, keep your head down. Now it's like Halloween ain't even here yet, and there's been four or five changes, and I'm not sure it's the right thing, but you just have to go with it. It's more young Dave's decision than mine.
Are you a patient chairman, David, or would you say you're not?
Yes, certainly. For me, it comes down to makes me laugh when someone might put a manager in and then they change them straight away. It's like, well, you put them there in the first place. So if, you know, 3 months down the line, they're not the right person. You're looking at your board of directors and your chairman. So, I think you've got to back whoever you put in, and we've benefited from that, you know, in my time with Matt. And I think there's a big, big part of that continuity bit, you know, as you mentioned before about the know the club and whatnot. I think we've got probably 7 or 8 of our squad from last year that have stayed, and you just need that little bit, to be able to develop, you know, an opportunity to do well. So it, certainly, people who change it too quickly, just make me giggle a little bit at times when I see it.
I always remember at an old chairman at Harrow Borough. He's still a friend of mine, Martin Murphy, and I thought he had a great saying. He said, "Listen, Dave, sacking the manager's the easy bit. It's what happens after that's the hard bit." And I think Dave's right. I think what happens today is they do the easy bit before thinking about the next bit. Now, hopefully, Barney's thought out what he's done with me and the people at the other head and whoever's got jobs this week. But effectively, he always maintained that sacking the manager was the easy bit. But he always tried to get the next bit right. And you know, it's easier said than done sometimes.
I think, David, and you know, this is a manager now, and we spoke about this before, is that I think when you look, you know, I'm going to look to get back into football. I'm not sure when. You know, it could be next year now with the operation I've done. I've mostly written it off, unless it was something special or I could just go and help someone out for a bit. That may be the only thing that will entice me. But I think you're looking and you're at clubs now, and you look and go, well, how many managers they had in that time? And it would worry me now if it was a lot. because you'd sit them and go, well, you know, you want somewhere that are looking more long-term. I know things happen in football and change and whatever, but if you just want someone to come in and make a sudden impact with results for 8 or 9 games and then don't give them the time after, it's something that I think you've got to look at now as a club.
Yeah, I feel for young. See, for me, I'm a couple of months older than Keith, but for me, it's not career defining anymore. You know, I was happy with my lad. I'd sort of walked off into the sunset. I do feel for young managers. You know, I feel, and I've worked obviously with, I worked with Simon Bassett, who's now at Portsmouth. I worked with Harry Kuehl for a bit. He's at Celtic. And I worked with Dean, who's played for me and I think is an excellent up-and-coming young manager, but dealing with a challenging club to work at. So I do feel for young managers, because when I was their age, proper goal, I was allowed to fall over a couple of times before they went, no, hang on, you know, you're out of time. And, you know, when you get that chance and you've anything about you, you learn and you pick up and you get better and you then sustain some success. And people go, well, you did all right over your lifetime in management. And I would say, yeah, because the rules were different. The rules were different 25 years ago. So you build that foundation because people go, well, he's been around. Yeah, because you were allowed to be around. Mm. And I think young managers now, if they get a year and a half in a job, that they've done well. And that's what I don't get. I would never be a chairman. It's not my side of the game. But I do think that we've got to give young managers a chance. And they will fall down. And, you know, I was speaking the other day to, we're talking about another manager who had made a couple of mistakes and it cost him his job. And I says, every mistake he's made, I've made. You know, but back in the day, it didn't cost you your job. It does today. You know, I don't know why that makes sense.
He's a fashion, just like cut socks and Vicks on your shirt.
You know, it is, but what
the top level, and that's what it is.
What does me sometimes is, though, Dave, say that you've got a manager that does really well. Say he's got his team promoted into the next league, and then they're struggling. After 8 games, they sack him. And I'm like, whoa, what is that about? That's what I don't get.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. And I think the other thing is, if you've been at a club that you've made them stable, you've got them from being relegation, you get them in the mid-table, and you keep them there for a couple of years and everything's solidified, and then you've a bad 4 or 5 games, you're out the door. You know, and it's... But then, listen, we're always going to see it from that side of the fence because we're managers, you know, but I just think that you don't give... I think the game, the way it is now, at every level, doesn't give young managers a chance to make a mistake, you know, a chance to learn from the mistake. And if I was in a room with chairman like young Dave and other people, I'd be saying, think about that. You know, if you've belief in him, back him and let him trip over every now and again, you know, because I just think that you should be allowed that. Mm.
I said one quick question on, if we can go back to last weekend's games, just very, very quickly before we have a quick sort of 2 or 3 of these games for you guys to have a look at the attendances. But what would you have said was the main surprises from, you know, from your different areas, I suppose, of the country in the trophy at the weekend? What was the ones that actually came out and were a surprise with the result? Young Dave, you want to go first? Is there one?
After our trip home, I didn't get to look at my phone much the following morning, so I'll abstain from that one. I don't even look so many of the results, to be quite honest.
Yeah, at least one. My team's not in it, Dave, so I have no interest in it this year.
The big one, Dave, has got to be Harlow for me. You know, you didn't give him open L. You know... And to go and win on penalties, I thought against Hornchurch that's flying as well, and Stimmo's got a very strong side over there. that was a shock. But it is a cup. You're talking step four or step three. You know, Dave Chairman, I call him. I'm not going to call him Young Dave because the Dave next to him's young still. Because I've seen him play golf, so he's got to be young. But it's, you know, there isn't a huge amount between the two difference if you've got a team that is flying at the top of their league and one that's struggling. So I thought that was one of them. I thought, you know, for them to do that. Yeah, for me, and you know, Grays, I thought winning on pens as well against Faversham, I would have had that as a home win all day long there as well. But again, they've got through it, and I think they'll fancy a good run in that.
And Potters Bar again going out to a lower step side as well in that, going out 2-0 at home to Heybridge Swifts.
Yeah, and then you've got obviously Hendon losing on penalties to which is exactly what I'm saying to you. You know, Hendon come back and beat, was it Herne Bay in the FA Cup the week before after being 2-0 down. And then they've gone out to a team of league below. So I know it's penalties, but they're at home. You expected them to win that one, I would have thought.
Mm. Well, okay, before we finish, let's have a quick ping through these without people actually looking at their phones. But let's go to Merthyr Tydfil versus AFC Totten.
You've got to guess the crowd, Dave's. This is his little thing.
Oh, is it? Okay. Don't have to name them, you just have to guess the number.
Yeah. So Merthyr nil, AFC Totten 1. 307. Oh, and the funny thing about this is
400.
Keith?
I'm going 580.
Dave?
350. Yeah.
It was 307 at Merthyr.
That shocked me, Dave, you know, because they're doing well. I thought they were getting decent crowds, we said.
That's because Anthony was in Spain.
Oh, right. Well, so was I. But I tell you, Dave, just going back to when you said name the crowds, I've managed teams where I couldn't name the whole of the crowds.
Well, there is a funny thing about that because, of course, if I'm right in saying, you took out Hitchin, Dave, you know, which was the ex Summer League chairman. And, of course, if Merthyr would have won, he would have ended up with the current one as well. So it's been quite interesting. What about Harlow against Hornchurch?
Derby.
Mr. Anderson, what do we reckon?
350.
Okay.
Again, Harlow's crash, I thought, would have been better. I'm going to go 260.
Dave?
I'll go below that. I'll go 250.
There's actually only two difference between that one and the Merthyr one, 305. And last one, what about, make sure he's on there first. He's not on there, so we can't use that one. Let's have a quick shifty down here. There was one I saw. Where was it?
I wouldn't even know the crowd at my game. So,
what about Macus versus Bamba Bridge?
Wow.
Keith?
Go on, let Dave go because it's Macclesfield, isn't it? So,
I'm going to say 600.
600? Dave?
9. Let's go 900.
Okay. 750. They went high. They went right as well. 933 in that 6-1 win for Macclesfield at the weekend. So yeah, fantastic. But listen, guys, time's run away from us, and it's been an absolute pleasure having two fantastic guests on the show with us tonight. Of course, the living legend, Mr. Dave Anderson. Fantastic to see you back in the game, sir, and we're pleasure to have you on. And, of course, the man that I've been trying to get on for a bit of time, as I said, first we met each other face-to-face at the Summer League. Thanks for coming on, Dave. I really appreciate that as well. Wish you both guys promotion to the next step at the end of the year. And knowing you two guys, probably will be saying that that'll be the case at the end of the year as well.
I hope so. Just Keith, come down and see us and have a beer, Keith.
100%, mate. I'm free much Friday. I'm playing golf now, obviously, a lot Saturday mornings, but now the winter rules have come in. That's why you've gone into management.
People have said that, actually.
Winter rules, in you go.
Yeah, listen, I would like to publicly deny it as well.
Okay. And of course, well, yeah, no, I will. I'll come over. I'll definitely come over, Dave. We'll have a beer.
And of course, Keith, thanks as well for coming. Next week, we have got a star of TikTok as well, I've noticed as well, because I've seen he's doing loads of TikTok videos lately as well. Martin Underhay, of course, who is a referee, has been with us before. And, of course, we're hoping to get the referees forum on as well next week. So a little bit of a referee special next week, where we'll have those guys on with me and Keith next week. But for me and Keith, a massive thank you for watching tonight. And until next week, good night.
Hey, Jax.